Well, 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 we have so much to get into. I feel like I haven't had a real conversation with you in months, essentially.
I know. Well, every time every time I talk to Chandler, like how now I'm not even speaking to you, I'm just speaking to the audience.
Yeah.
Audience.
I'm now out of this conversation.
You're a listener now. Every time I talk to Chandler, one of two things happens. Either, you know, we almost get into catching up and then we're like, oh, we have to save it for the podcast so we can't mm-hmm. actually talk about anything. Or I'm trying to talk to Chandler and she's like, I don't know, like Sheryl Sandberg, essentially, just like on her computer, like sitting up fully straight, looking at it, answering work stuff, cannot give me the time of day. I don't know what's happened, but you've like overnight turned into like the biggest like tycoon and I'm not having it.
Well, okay. Here's what's – I cannot believe that you're going to put this all on me. Let's talk about that. You've had a broken phone for the last year. Your phone that hasn't been working. I've only been able to contact you. Lauren and I have been Instagram video chatting like we're freaking on 90 Day Fiancé or some excuse me. And that she has true. Not had a working phone. She's also been on an opposite time zone than me. So how dare you try to place this blame on me? I've always been a tycoon for the record. Let the record state that I've been a tycoon since day one. And maybe the contrast is just really stark because you've been vacationing for the past month. And that's on you.
Okay. Perhaps so. Perhaps that is the case. Okay, it is true. When I was in Greece, the deep irony is I posted all my stories like, sorry, everyone, if these stories are so obnoxious and annoying, but I have no clue when I'm even coming home. So this is continuing indefinitely, essentially. And then promptly 2 hours later, my phone became unresponsive. So and stopped working. 2 hours later, the next day, we were flying to Athens to get on a boat for a week. So I was going to become completely stranded.
Yes. And it's just Lauren was also away at sea. Okay. Let's just talk that's about true. The last month and the dedication to this podcast that's been shown. I'm glad you had a month-long sabbatical. I'm proud of you for that.
This is called revisionist history. I did not have a month-long sabbatical. I continued to co-host this podcast and edit every episode, even while I was at sea. Except for co-hosting. I did not co-host last week. That's correct.
I'm just saying it's been a long 2 weeks of you being off the grid.
I was off the grid for 1 week.
Well, when your phone is broken, you're basically off the grid. So I just hope you got the R&R you needed because some of us had to, you know, steer the ship in your absence. Poorly, but steer nonetheless.
Yeah, your Liahona must have been broken. Honestly, there was like 60 seconds where I was like, you know what? This is great. This is God intervening in my life. Like my phone is broken. I'm going to be at sea. Like there's so many – this is a black swan event for me as a human being. Right. For all of these events to conspire to make me go phoneless. Mm-hmm. And I just imagined I would – go to sea, I would look at the horizon, I would look at the night sky,
journal.
And I would realize, journal, exactly. I would look human beings in the eye, you know, offer a kind word, a word of gratitude. Yeah. I would become a better human being. My attention would become focused. You get the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you, none of that happened. In fact, I just realized how annoying it is to not have a phone. It became terrible. Terrible, 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 and I do not recommend it.
Wait, so can we talk about your journey at sea? Like, I feel like I haven't heard actually a full debrief from your vacation. I mean, I guess I heard about it when you were in Portugal, but now I didn't really hear a lot about Greece because I feel like you immediately went to sea.
No, you haven't heard anything about Greece.
I haven't heard anything, so I need to hear about it.
Okay, so we went to Portugal. We were in Lisbon for like 2.5 weeks. Then we went to Porto for a few nights. Then we had like a week – or no. We went to Lisbon for 2.5 weeks. Then we went to Viana for like – we stayed in a castle with Kagan's friends. And then we had a week break in between when we were going to get on a boat for a week and sail like around the islands. Well,
so nice. So lovely.
I can't wait to tell you all about it. I feel super, super fortunate that I was able to bully Kagan into leaving Puerto Rico for both August and September under the ruse that we were escaping hurricane season. When really it was just an excuse to travel.
Wait, has Puerto Rico been affected by any of the recent, like Ida or Henri? Okay.
It's actually very rare that Puerto Rico gets hit by a hurricane because it's such a small island and such a vast sea.
I think that I experienced hurricane season more than you did, more than Puerto Rico did, to be quite honest.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah, I don't even think there's been like a tropical storm since we've been gone.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Regardless, we escaped.
So glad you were safe.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so we had a week break and we had a lot of discussions what we were going to do for this week, right? Mm-hmm. And I finally was able to convince Kagan to go to Mykonos. I really wanted to go to Mykonos because we didn't know if we were going to go there like on the boat, because the boat the boat journey is like completely dependent on the winds.
Okay.
And so we didn't know like where we were actually going to be sailing until like the day we got on. And I knew I wanted to go to Mykonos, and I knew for a fact we were not going to go to Santorini, and I wanted to do Santorini on the way back. These were my plans. Okay.
Okay. Is there any rhyme or reason behind that? Lindsay Lohan was in Mykonos, or like is frequently there?
I mean, I think that Mykonos and Santorini are like the most famous of the islands. Uh-huh. And my hunch, my educated guess, my hypothesis I put on my lab coat was that they're the most famous because they're the best.
Yeah.
You know, I said these are the places I wanted to go. I was basically low-key ridiculed/trolled for this and told that these were the Instagram destinations and not actually the cool
parts. For a reason. They're the Instagram destinations for a reason.
Exactly. You stole the words from my mouth. Now, having been to a bunch of little random islands and Mykonos and Santorini, I can tell you that you can honestly just skip the little islands, maybe watch a YouTube video about them, and just go to Mykonos and Santorini.
Great. Perfect.
Let me save everyone a lot of time and a lot of, you know, Googling.
You know, just stick to the Carnival Cruise itinerary, okay? No need to do something off the beaten path. Just whatever the Disney cruise for Greece is going to, just go there, okay?
Absolutely, absolutely. If you go on TripAdvisor and you search Greece, just do what it says. Do what the top three destinations come up as.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it looked absolutely stunning. And now I feel like I'm going to try to go to Greece and Spain next year. But those are my goals.
Incredible. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're manifesting? Ben doesn't
know. So I'm manifesting, yeah. I've decided to take a European vacation next year. That should be like, you know, at least 10 days.
Well, I want to do Amalfi Coast with you next year. So you need to pencil that in as well.
Okay. Well,
I had a realization about the Amalfi Coast, which is that I want to do it with another gal pal and not with Kagan. And so I need you to be on that same train.
Okay. Okay. Let's pencil it in. Let's make it happen.
Okay. So anyway, so we went to Mykonos. It was super fun. Kagan, we stayed at this hotel that was like 2 minutes from a kite beach by walking and 2 minutes from a beach with a bunch of day beds. And like you can like have, you know, beachside service. So I was in hog heaven. And then
so nice.
It was so nice. And then we ended up staying at the last night at a little bit nicer of a hotel with like this infinity pool that overlooked this amazing like bay like on a cliff. It was really pretty.
So, okay. And you were with a group of friends this whole time. So it wasn't like just you and Kagan.
No, it was just me and Kagan in Mykonos.
Okay.
And it was really fun. Like we kind of took a break. The friends went to Sardinia to like another kiting location, because all of this has basically been centered around Kagan kite surfing and me learning to kite surf. Mm-hmm. And Mykonos was, I wanted to go to Mykonos. I did not
another
want to go
ruse. To Sardinia. Another ruse for Lauren to journey around Europe to learn how to kite surf.
Exactly. So I do want to tell – I have a Mykonos hot tip for everyone.
Okay.
Which is – so our first hotel was totally darling, but it wasn't one of these hotels that's on the beach. We could have paid $100 extra a night and stayed on the beach or like, you know, on an amazing like cliffside hotel. Mm-hmm. We opted to stay – to go a little bit more economical and stay at a hotel that was like – just kind of landlocked, if you will, but super darling regardless.
Yeah.
I regret this now because if you don't stay on a hotel that has that is on a beach with day beds, you're going to journey to a beach with day beds in Mykonos and you're going to pay 50 to 100 euros extra a day anyway to sit on one of the day beds.
What an incredible tip.
It is a good tip.
That is a good tip. That is a good tip. I know. I'm very excited to tap into all of your places when I, you know, travel out there. I actually have been to Greece You didn't really give me the opportunity to say that, but I have been to Greece. I have only been to Athens, and this was on a cruise. So I feel like it doesn't really count when I tell people I've like been to Greece. Like, it feels kind of like wrong coming out of my mouth, but I have been there, and I did spend a day, about 6 hours in Athens.
Just enough time to go to the Acropolis.
Right. That's about it. I've got a few pictures of me at the Acropolis in, like, you know, purple skinny jeans, and perfect. That's about it. But I never went to any, like, the, you know, the more picturesque, the actual, like,
cool spots in Greece.
Yeah. Like the vacation destinations. I was just, you know, too busy immersing myself in the history.
Oh, right. You wanted to go see where democracy was founded. Whereas you took
the words right out of my mouth.
I wanted to get buzzed on the beach, and I guess we both accomplished our goals.
We did.
I will tell you, Chandler, that how far I've fallen from the scholar I used to be, from the philosophy student and poet I used to be. We went to Athens for one night purely because we had to catch a flight very early the next morning. We had to be up at 4 a.m. Okay. Our hotel had a view of the Acropolis. If you went to the rooftop, like a beautiful view of the Acropolis.
You didn't even gaze at it.
I didn't even make the effort to look at the thing. That is how I don't know. I've become completely like, there's no culture anymore.
You've completely devolved, and that's okay.
100%.
I've watched you unravel before my very eyes.
I know. Like the journey from what Lauren's reading, my Instagram of yore, to Lauren having fun has really been one of like a woman losing her soul and all culture, right, and all right. Pretentiousness in certain ways.
Losing pretentiousness or gaining pretentiousness?
Losing, you know, pretentiousness in different ways. In different ways, and gaining pretentiousness in new ways, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
There's always going to be a baseline level of pretension with me.
Honestly, it's like, you know, if you've got some pretension about philosophy and Kant or infinity pools and, you know, beachside daybeds, like, what's the difference?
That's true. I guess one is more virtuous than the other. But anyway, I'm here to offer my tips to everyone. And this is great. I think you should spring for the nicer hotel in Mykonos.
Okay. Okay. So Lauren's hot tip is just spend the money. Would you say that was, you know, like a macro note?
You're going to spend it anyway because you're going to want to go to the beach. And at that point, you have to pay for a day bed instead of it being included in your hotel.
And like a lot of times, like I remember when I was on my study abroad in France and we only could go to like the just open to everyone public beaches. They were kind of gross. Like if you just got like if you just went to one of the beaches where like, you know, anyone could go and like there was, I just remember seeing like Band-Aids floating in the water, you know, like Fanta cans floating in the water versus like some of the more like private places like we were able to like sneak into were just like so much cleaner.
I did not even journey into any of the non-organized beaches in Greece. I did not even journey to, you know, to those because it just seemed like, no, I want service beachside. Like, what's the point of just going and plopping down with my towel on the sand? Where is the sangria going to come from? Stunning Greek salad going to come from?
What was your drink of choice?
This bitch isn't packing a lunch.
Right.
My drink of choice was this is another thing I'm going to tell people. The cocktails were not great. I tried every single cocktail at our last hotel in Santorini. None were very good. You have to just stick to essentially, I would say, sangria or Aperol spritzes or straight wine. Like the margaritas were not sweet at all. Mm-hmm. Or everything is so sweet. Like you might as well be, I don't know, getting a cocktail at like Willy Wonka.
Or like the sugar factory.
Yes, in the Mission Viejo Mall.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know. Wow. Okay. You should definitely do a highlight or some sort of, you know, travel guide on Instagram. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that. So we went to Mykonos. It was really, really fun. Amazing. Like, it was incredible. The great thing about Mykonos is that it's truly is a party location. Like, the beachside parties are so, like, people are just, like, having a blast. Lots of topless people, which was, yeah, like, interesting. It was super fun. And then we flew to back to Athens from Mykonos, okay, so that we could get to the port to get on our boat for the week. Mm-hmm. So we were mm-hmm. on a catamaran for the week. Chen, do you know what catamarans are? Are you familiar?
They're, like, the boats with, like, that are basically like three long platforms, right? Like, I don't know. Why do I feel like a catamaran doesn't have a floor? Is that true?
So a regular boat or a yacht has a monohull. So it has one, it all comes to one point at the bottom, whereas a catamaran has 2 points. So it's, they're okay, a little bit more stable, essentially.
Okay.
And okay, they're a little bit like more like just like friendly for big groups, essentially.
Okay.
Then unless you're going like on a full yacht and doing like a below deck experience, you want to be on a catamaran with like a sort of larger group.
Okay. Wow. Very interesting.
Yeah, and because it's just a more, like, comfortable experience.
Okay. I think I'm looking at pictures right now. So there's like big catamarans. I've literally been thinking you're on like a tiny catamaran.
No, this is like a 50-foot catamaran.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Okay.
So I don't want to have any sort of pretension about this experience, though. Like, it was super fun and amazing, but this was not below deck. Like, we were on a catamaran. We had a skipper and a hostess, but we were not, like, being served cocktails by people in uniform or any of that. That was not happening. This was more of, like, everyone kind of does their part and, you know.
Yeah.
It's more like, staying on a catamaran is more like camping at sea is the only way to describe it.
Okay.
Like sleeping. What on kind a of boat food like did really... you have?
And where did you? Yeah, what? What were your quarters like?
Quarters were extremely small, very limited storage. So I brought very limited like apparel and stuff. I left my big checked bag in Athens, and I brought very limited items. And it's just basically a bed with like there's like maybe 2 feet of space outside of the bed, and then a tiny bathroom with a shower and like a tiny closet. That's really what you're staying in.
Okay.
So it's really just to sleep, and then you spend the rest of the time like actually on the like loungy part of the catamaran or like on the dining part of the catamaran.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So we get there and we get to the port, and at this point we have to go grocery shopping to get our food for the week. Like, we needed to get essentially more food than what we'd ordered for our provisions.
Okay.
This was a hellish experience. Really? This was like, it was just like, it was a packed Greek grocery store. So much, like, we needed to buy so much food. There was only three of us who went. Like, we stood in line. It just felt like we waited for so long for the van driver to come to pick us up with, like, the four carts of groceries.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was definitely, like, if I thought that in any way this experience was going to verge on, like, the Captain Sandy luxury tour of the Med, I was dispelled of any such illusion.
It sounds like you were just kind of like having a crew-like experience. You weren't like you were on a boat, but you were like do it like the crew, having to shop for provisions, having to carry your own provisions. Okay, which we all know is the worst part of, you know, getting the boat ready.
So provisions
show up. Yes, and you know, tight sleeping quarters. You were like, you basically got to experience what it would be like to you know, work as crew. How nice for you.
Yeah, basically. I was basically Hannah. No, we had a hostess, and she was like this older Greek lady.
Okay.
And it was so funny because whenever she spoke, no one had any clue what she was saying, but she was so nice and just smiled sweetly and like folded her hands over and over and talked with her hands a lot. And none of us had any clue what she was saying, but she was very nice. And then we had our skipper, Kostas.
Uh-huh. Hot.
Chandler, do you know what's hot? Do you know what? Do you know what a skipper is?
A boat guy?
It's the captain. It's like basically a more chill name for captain.
Okay.
Hot. So, you know, Kostas had a certain appeal. I won't deny it. You know, very swarthy. His passion is being at sea. Very strong Greek man. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like very swarthy. Yeah. Very, determined. And it was just funny because like we got there and we're traveling with guys who essentially do not like to make plans. Like all of these guys, they're all crypto guys. They all kind of just, they're kind of the type that just do whatever they want whenever they want. And so it was actually interesting to watch like that mentality of these guys contend with like Costas, under the captain.
Right, under Costas's thumb.
Who wanted to make like plans to the detail to the minute and wanted to discuss them that. For like 2 hours.
Nothing is sexier than that. I need to go find this man. I'm sorry. I must leave my life here because I love planning.
100%. Like before we got on the boat, like one of the chief complaints of one of our friends who was coming with us, who organized the whole thing, was like he got too many calls to plan this trip from the skipper.
Stop.
So anyway, so we get on the boat and it's determined that the wind is not going to accommodate kite surfing on this trip. Like the wind is just really not great. Oh, like no. We might as well just abandon that plan. Because this was supposed to be a kite surfing boating week.
Right, right. Ugh.
So instead, we say, okay, and let me caveat this with one of our friends, his partner missed her flight. And so he had to wait. He was going to join us the next day. And this is the friend with probably the strongest opinions, kind of the most alpha energy, I would say, in terms of decision making. So he was not there for these discussions. So we decided, well, if we can't kite surf, let's just go to the most like stunning swimming spots in Greece, like beautiful, huge cliffs, like the things you see on the postcards. Let's go to like the places you can't really get to by airplane, the places that are a little bit more undiscovered. Okay. We have provisions for the week. Like that'll be like a more fun, exotic experience. Let's abandon trying to kite surf on as many Greek beaches as possible.
Are you bummed at this point that your kite surfing journey, you know, is looking like it's coming to a close?
No, I could not care less about kite surfing. Like I live in a kite surfing destination. Should I continue my kite surfing journey, which is another story entirely, I will do so next to my home. I'm in Greece once. Like it was honestly like a strange plan to me that they wanted to kite surf in Greece.
Yeah.
Because like it just seemed like, why not go to like the why not just be in Greece? Like you can kite surf at home as much as you want.
We've got kite surfing at home.
And the beaches aren't that different. You know, the beaches in Puerto Rico are actually warmer waters and a little bit more picturesque if we're going to get down to the brass tacks.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. Shots fired. Anyway, we decide we're not going to head to the Mykonos path of this trip. Near Paros and Antiparos and those islands, we're going to instead head to Milos and like go to the more undiscovered territories and more beautiful swimming holes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we make that decision. The next morning at 6 a.m., we depart for the 8-hour sailing journey to Milos. Okay.
Okay.
Our friend had gotten on the boat late that night. His partner ended up getting there in time to make it that night, but again, they were not part of these decisions. So by the time they woke up, we were well on our way to Milos. And it's not a simple journey of like saying like, oh, we're just going to reverse course and go somewhere else. Like it's a full day of sailing.
Okay.
And sailing for a full day is not – it's not like the most enjoyable. Like you really do get seasick.
Yeah. Did you get sick?
I got seasick the first day for sure. Like it's just not – it's not like relaxed, chill party vibes. It's like kind of getting through it vibes.
Yeah.
And so an 8-hour day of sailing is a lot. So we wanted to get that big sailing day out of the way, get to Milos, and then our journey would really begin. Well, we got to Milos, and our friend basically discovers that the kite surfing trip he thought he was going on had been changed to a swimming and stunning destination, and stunning Greek waters trip.
Yeah.
At which point, this is not going to work for him. It becomes abundantly clear.
Really?
Yes. So we all get to dinner that night and we're kind of chatting before Costas.
Like on the boat. You're on, but dinner on the boat.
No, we had dinner every night in a different, like either bay or port.
Okay. Cool.
So we would get to like a little, like very remote bay in Greece where there'd be like one tavern and we'd go have dinner there every night.
Cool,
and then
cool.
Our hostess made us lunch and breakfast every day on the boat.
Okay.
So anyway, our hostess, Marta. Okay. Anyway, we get to dinner and Costas, our skipper, has not arrived yet. And we kind of all are talking and And everyone basically reveals that they'd actually prefer to go to Mykonos, and they don't want to go to Milos anymore.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And this is going to require another full day of sailing. Basically, like, we've gone all this way to get to this amazing place, and now we just want to sail again tomorrow. But we decided, if we're going to talk about this with Kostas, let's do it after dinner, because if we even bring it up, he is going to, like, he's not going to have it. He's going to want to talk about it right now. Yeah. Anyway, he gets to the table. Someone kind of alludes to, oh, maybe we might be changing the plans. And it's just so funny because he's like, if there is a change to the plans, we need to discuss this now. I am the skipper. I need to know. We cannot discuss this when we get back to the boat. It will be 11 o'clock. It will be too late. I will be too tired. We have to discuss this now.
Oh my gosh.
So we get into like a full 3-hour logistical conversation over dinner about benefits to going to the various places, yada, yada, yada. We make the decision to go to Milos the next day for one day. And then the next day we'll go to Paros. And then we will depart the boat early, 2 days early, and just get dropped off essentially in Paros and skip the ride back to Athens. Is any of this interesting at all?
It is.
Am I getting too in the weeds?
No. I think let's just maybe like speed it up slightly.
Okay. So anyway, we make that decision, and it was just so.
Is he mad at you? Is he carrying resentment for the rest of the trip?
He was a little miffed. Mm-hmm. Like, because it's just, there's a ton of variables when it comes to like actually like sailing, like the winds, I guess, like are very constricting. And like, if we went to Paros, if we wanted to go to Paros, I still don't know how to pronounce it. He needed to leave and go back to Athens by Thursday in order to avoid the really harsh winds that were going to make it too dangerous to sail.
Okay.
So that's why we decided, okay, we'll just get dropped off in Paros and we'll skip the last 2 days on the boat, which honestly came as a relief because sleeping on this boat was like semi-nightmarish.
Really?
Yeah. Like, remember how I told you that sleeping in the castle, like it was super hot. The beds were really uncomfortable. There was no AC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The boat was the same story. Yeah. Super hot inside the little cabins. The AC barely worked.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of nightmarish. So when I realized that we were getting off the boat 2 days early, I was like so happy.
It's like one of those things where it's like honestly, it's like camping. It's really fun for like the first bit. And then like when it starts to set in, like truly how hellish this experience is and like the logistics are, like you're like, yeah, I'm ready to leave. No problem.
It's really fun during the day. It's just not fun to sleep on a boat.
And that makes a big difference.
And that makes a big difference. Yeah. Like, I would totally do it again. I was actually thinking of trying to, like, convince our friend group to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I would totally do it again. It was really fun, but I was relieved to be able to get off the boat.
Yeah.
So we get off the boat a couple days early on Thursday. We go to Paros for a night and we stay at this really cute hotel. They like upgrade all of our rooms, which was so nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really fun. And then I had convinced Kagan to go to Santorini for the last weekend that we were going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this was also funny. So I convinced Kagan by essentially asking Kostas, our skipper, like what like if Santorini was worth visiting. And it was so funny because I went into like the boat to like talk to him about it, but it was cool, fully within earshot of everyone.
Yeah.
Like, Kostas, should we go to Santorini? Is it worth it? Or is it just like every other Greek island? And he was like, oh, Santorini. It is unearthly. It is like nowhere else in the world. And I just heard the guys outside going, that's going to cost you to Kagan, which was hilarious.
That's so funny.
And ultimately did. So I'm trying to decide if I want to tell you anything else about our captain. It was just so funny. Like we were like, it was such a unique person. Like we were at dinner chatting with him about like the best like people who sail and stuff, like the best people, like guests. And he was saying that Americans are really nice. Americans were like basically the best. Most Europeans are really great, really nice people. But he was like, but Greek people are apparently the worst.
Really?
He says that any experienced skipper will not host will not sail for Greek people. They'll always ask what nationality the people are before like accept a charter. Yes, because apparently they just like, he's like, they think they're the king. They tell me drop anchor here. And I tell them, I am the skipper. I decide where we drop anchor, not you. Like, it was just, he was like, they think you work for me. I work for no one. I am the skipper. This is my boat.
Doesn't really sound like a skipper is actually a chiller name for a chiller captain.
He's honestly like just such a funny person. Like the most, like the strongest Greek energy. Like anytime he was speaking, he sounded like he was essentially yelling. So passionate about sailing, about the winds. And it was really cute because he really wanted to like show people how to sail, which of course me and like basically the other girls had no interest in.
Right.
But Kagan was super cute. Like Kagan would always like come up and help him with whatever he needed. Kagan, honestly, when we were on the boat, I kind of fell in love with him all over again because I just realized he's that guy in a group who can just be counted on. He's the guy who will help out the guy who needs help, who will learn what needs to be learned.
Yeah.
He's just capable in every way.
Yeah.
And Kostas almost like kind of like fell in love with Kagan a little bit. Really? Like, I feel like he wanted to adopt him, like adult adoption as his new son.
Oh my gosh, Kagan.
Like we went to take a group picture at the end with Kostas's drone. And Kostas was like, Kagan was on a call for work. And Kostas was like, the picture will not be the same without Kagan.
Oh my gosh, that's really cute. So funny.
I know, it was amazing.
That's lovely. Oh, that's very, very sweet. Congratulations on falling in love all over again.
Yeah, it was cute. He like let Kagan drive the ship for a little bit, which was really cute. So long story short, it was really fun. And we ended up getting dropped off in Paros. We stayed for a night in Paros and then we flew to Santorini. Kagan had this be my 31st birthday trip, which I was readily accepted and received with joy. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, we got to Santorini, we got to our hotel, and it was like a spiritual experience. That's the only way to describe Santorini.
It looked
like
unreal, unearthly.
Like I basically like discovered divinity on this experience. Like my tip for Santorini: stay in as nice of a hotel as you can afford, because really in Santorini, the only thing to do is be at your hotel. Like other than like go into town, walk, like you go to the tourist area for like 2 hours, maybe.
Yeah.
Get lunch and then that's it.
Yeah.
So you really want to be in as nice of a hotel as possible so you can enjoy it. I sprang for a pretty nice hotel. And it was so worth it. Like I cannot tell you, like it was, our hotel was basically like a combination of San Ysidro Ranch and the Ivy, like on a cliff.
Oh my gosh.
It was phenomenal. It was unbelievable. It was like spiritual. Like literally I was sitting at dinner waiting for Kagan, and the dinner, all the tables are like cliff view. So they're just on the cliff, like facing the cliff.
So beautiful. And
it was so cool. Like you sit right next to your partner. You don't sit across from each other because you're both looking out at the view.
Yeah.
And like the server came over and I was like almost having like an emotional experience. And like the server could tell. Like it was just like truly phenomenal. And like I had all these epiphanies about my life and like the things I maybe need to change. And it was just really, really
amazing. Do you want to care to share?
I mean, maybe on the Patreon I'll talk about it a little bit. Okay. It's a little too personal for the masses.
Okay.
So anyway, okay. But yes, so my big takeaways are Santorini and Mykonos are for sure the best of the Greek islands. If you have time and can take a little boat to a few of the other random islands, do it. Like Antiparos and Paros are cute and they're fun and they are very traditional and very cute, but Mykonos and Santorini are effing where it's at, and you should absolutely go staying as nice of a hotel as possible in both locations, especially Santorini, because there aren't beaches with day beds to go to in Santorini. Really, you're just like on a cliff watching the sunset every night and swimming luxuriously in the pool. That's basically the activity of being in Santorini. Mykonos has more to do. And so those are my Greece tips. I'm sorry, it's now 35 minutes long. I apologize for how long this
went on. That's all right. Okay. Well, I guess I'll give you an update on my domestic life. It's certainly not as glamorous. Last time we chatted, I was in New York, and I have successfully now made it back to the West Coast. I will just give you, you know, a brief rundown of that journey for me, because it was quite the journey. Last Friday, I was supposed to leave New York City. I missed my flight. I did not realize that public transportation had really, you know, seeped into my planning and my logistical side of myself. So I did not anticipate the idea of traffic, because I've just been taking the subway all summer, and it just like always takes, you know, 10 minutes to get somewhere, basically, right, unless like the train is delayed, which really kind of only sometimes happens.
Wow,
on the weekend.
She's already such a New Yorker. Okay. You forgot about traffic. Okay.
I forgot about traffic. I'm listening. So, which I've never missed a flight before in my whole life. And this was like a very, like this was like a moment where I was like, wow, you really goofed here. This is all your fault. But luckily, like Ben was just going to, you know, walk me to his car to retrieve some of my belongings. And then I was going to get a cab. And as I was walking there, he was like, you know what? You're going to get there only like 20 minutes before your flight leaves. And I was like, oh, I was like, you don't say. And then it was just like this like amazing, you know, white knight moment, knight in shining armor. I don't know what white knight means, but whatever. He was my white knight. He is white. And he was like, I'll just drive you. And so then he just like, you know, get in his car, and then he drives me, and then we realize that there's just no way we're going to make it. So I then book another flight from the car, because I can't get anybody, you know, on the line with Delta. By the time I get a hold of somebody, my flight will have taken off. So I book another flight, and then literally within 5 minutes of me booking that other flight for like 2 hours later, it gets delayed by 3 hours.
Stop.
And you have to realize what I'm staring down. Okay. I'm flying from New York. It's going to be like, you know, a 6 hour or 5 hour plane ride to then fly into San Francisco, where I'm going to meet my best friend, Annie, who's going to then go with me the next morning to get a U-Haul van, put all my belongings from storage into this U-Haul van, and then drive to San Clemente. So I'm just staring at kind of like.
She was doing it with you?
Yes. She did it with me, which was so nice. I like flew her out, and she was so kind to basically fly, you know, to California to do chores with me, which is, you know, why
Beyond
I was like,
nice.
Yeah, so nice. This is like truly a ride or die. Anyways, I'm staring down the barrel of that. It's just like not going to be a fun weekend. Right. It's going to be like, you know, a really sweaty, like gross weekend. And it's Labor Day. And it was like, you know, the last weekend of summer, and everyone's like, you know, in a pool. And I'm just like, you know, packing up all my stuff. Anyways, it's fine. So I'm that flight gets delayed. I'm about to land in San Francisco at 3 a.m. And then I have to pick up the U-Haul at 9. So I end up then having to book another flight on a different airline. And
Stop. Did you cancel the other one?
All of this is happening as I am trying to, as I'm in lease negotiations for my apartment in New York. So I like had countered with another offer, and then she called me back to tell me. And so she's like, we got to let them know that the office closes at 4. It was truly the most like, it was a very exciting and chaotic moment, because I got the apartment, and I also was like flying out in 2 hours, which I think made this like transition that was honestly going to be very hard for me a lot better. Cause I was like, as I was literally leaving New York, I like knew there was a return in sight, cause I had my lease at that point. Mm-hmm. And my this like dream apartment that I got. So anyways, I ended up making it. And I also, mom and dad, you know how they bought me that beautiful big suitcase for my birthday?
Yeah.
It was quite a large suitcase, Lauren. We're talking 30 inches tall. Yeah, that was like taller than a large box that you would get at U-Haul.
Okay.
Which I'm now very, I'm acutely aware of all of the different box sizes as I, you know, plan to ship my belongings across the country. My suitcase weighed 62 pounds.
Okay.
Which that has also never happened to me. That is like not my move. I never have like an overweight suitcase. I try to be really dialed in these situations.
Well, it's not overweight if you're flying business, because you can go up to 70. But what? Well, sorry, what?
That's enough out of you. I was, you know, and I actually got, this is so funny. So I put my suitcase on the thing. I had to like take the air train. I got dropped off in the wrong terminal because I forgot that I was now flying Alaska. Hellish journey. I'm sweaty. I'm also wearing the sweatshirt that Ben got me for my birthday. That's like it says God is obsessed with you and there's nothing you can do about it.
Incredible.
Which like I realized like maybe to the masses makes me like look like I'm.
Is that a Justin Bieber quote?
Like a crazy Christian or something, but like it's kind of amazing. So anyways, picture this. I'm in the Alaska terminal at JFK. I'm hurriedly trying to transfer belongings from one suitcase to the other. I'm weighing my Gucci bag on the thing. I'm weighing that with my shampoo. And I'm like, hey, how can I get rid of some of this weight? Nothing is heavy. Somehow, nothing is heavy yet. The whole suitcase is heavy. So I make about three different attempts to get my suitcase underweight when all of a sudden an angel in Alaska garb walks up to me and he says, you know, under his breath, under his mask, he says, just come over to my station.
Stop.
And I look at him. I look at him from the ground. Literally, I'm on the ground at the airport and I'm like, I'm looking up with tears in my eyes. Like,
you're like touching Jesus's garments, essentially. Literally. Like in a Book of Mormon movie.
I've seen the light. I'm about to be translated completely. And I'm just like, I'll do anything. I'll follow you anywhere. I'll go anywhere. So I quickly package all my stuff. My suitcase weighs still 60 pounds.
Okay.
I put it up on the scale. He puts a heavy tag on it. Nothing. Just doesn't say a word. Sends it right on off. And then he goes, I saw you in peril over there. And I'm like, you're my angel. I love you. Let's get married. Let's go to Greece.
100%.
And then he bumps me to like premium. So I got like, stop. I actually got to experience premium Alaska, which was very nice. I had lots of leg room and nobody sitting next to me. So, So that, anyways.
Talk about a hero saving a damsel in distress.
Truly, like, it was one of those moments where I was like, there are good people out there. You know, the world is back. New York's back, baby. And this is something related, but unrelated. I feel like this summer in New York and, you know, moving there now, like, New York actually has some of the kindest strangers. Like, if you're in any sort of business transaction with somebody, they're not going to be nice to you. They're not going to do you any favors. They're not going to cut you any slack. They're probably actually going to be rude to you. Like, my broker, when I was first looking at this apartment, said to me, do you know what you're talking about? Straight up.
What?
Yes. When I was like calling and inquiring about the apartment, she said, do you know what you're talking about? And I said, yes, I know what I'm talking about. And so like, but that's like, that's just kind of how business dealings go down. But if you are having an interaction with a stranger, and I guess this guy was kind of in a service like job, but whatever. He was kind. People in New York are actually very kind if you don't have to do any sort of business transactions with them. Anywho, I make it on my flight. I get to San Francisco. I pick up the U-Haul in the middle of, you know, East Palo Alto. It's just like, I'm about to have a nervous breakdown because I'm like, just so stressed. I just have like truly a lot to do in the next 3 weeks. And I had a lot to do then. So I'm able to retrieve the key from the lockbox, get in this U-Haul, and another angel, you know, appears to me. I had multiple angels on this weekend. Wow, the men at the Makespace warehouse where I was picking up my belongings offered to load the stuff in the truck for me. They said, do you want to do this, or do you want to just let us do it? And they said, do you have cash? And I took that as, we will load this for you if you give us some cash.
Yeah.
I gave them cash. They loaded all my stuff in the U-Haul. They packed it tightly. I didn't have any type of way to secure it. They did it all for me. And truly, we were out of there in 20 minutes. It was amazing. I thought I was going to be like loading stuff in this truck for an hour. I also had far more belongings than I anticipated. They could have not fit in, someone's pickup truck, which is what I was, you know, telling people. No, not true at all. Anyways, I'm home now. I made it. This drive was safe. I am living here. I've kind of gotten unpacked. I'm in the process of trying to like sort things into boxes. And my goal is to ship all my belongings in about 8 boxes and like 2 to 3 suitcases. So we'll see. I don't know how you got rid of all of like your stuff when you were like in San Clemente. I feel like you just must have thrown away like everything.
Yeah, I basically got rid of everything, but I didn't have anything of like value, honestly. Like, it was just all a bunch of crap that accumulated through my 20s, you know?
And that's kind of what I'm facing right now is like, why have I saved, you know, like every single card? Why? Why have I done that to myself?
Or honestly, like, yeah. Or like, I'm sorry, but like H&M top from 2013.
This is what I'm saying.
Why? It's just a bunch of junk.
I'm like, why am I trying to ship Zara clothes that I bought off of Courtney that were already used when I bought them? Like, why? Why am I trying to do this?
Probably never wear anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's because
Yeah.
Can I tell you why? I'm going to diagnose this for you.
Yeah.
I think you're still adjusting to having a little more coin in your pocket, mm-hmm. and you're so used to being broke. No offense.
Yeah.
I also was used to being broke for a long time, and was broke through most of my 20s completely. And I think that like the idea of buying, of replacing is like so, like it's just, there's something like in your body that like.
Right. Well, it also just seems like wasteful stressful to me. I'm like, why do I need to like rebuy this? I love my white t-shirts. I've got plenty of white t-shirts. I've got like, you know, at least 25 white t-shirts. And I'm like, I just like these. These are like, you know, I bought them at Target 8 years ago. Like, you know, they're mine. They're part of me. But I'm like, I really could just like rebuy this when I'm out there. So I need to really be strict on it, but whatever. Anyways.
I mean, I just feel like if look at what you have, look what's truly of value and what can be easily replaced. Like if you can easily replace most of it for $2,000 total, then yeah. I would just donate it and get new stuff.
And I'm looking at about $100 a box. So it's like, if the things in this box are not worth $100, why am I shipping it?
Exactly. Especially, and honestly, like, that's another big realization I had when I moved to Puerto Rico, is I really only used a handful of my things. Mm-hmm. And the rest of them were just things I bought, but I didn't end up ever really naturally reaching for or using. Yeah. And so that's another thing. It's like, have you really, like, what of this have you actually missed?
Right. Totally. Yeah. And I also bought like a decent amount of clothes while I lived there. So anyways, I now have to start over completely from scratch with like furniture, which is why I come to the, you know, Pop Apologist audience on bended knee asking for mattress recommendations, because mom wants me to, you know, spend $5,000 on a Sleep Number. And
no, that's not happening.
I'm like, that's not happening. And then I showed her my apartment last night. I was like looking for like, hey, where should we put the mattress? And then she's like, oh, you got jet outs. She's like, oh, so you won't be able to put it in that corner. Like mom is like making so many little tiny microaggressions about my apartment. Dicks. She's like, literally dick. She's like, why is the AC unit? You don't have central air? Or it's mom like
the queen of like not, I don't know. She's the queen of like little digs she doesn't even realize she's making.
Yes. I was like, I can't even, this is my dream apartment. You don't even realize how beautiful this is compared to like the other, like, you know, blank holes that I was looking at. This is amazing. Right. And she's like, are there enough plugs? You know, you're going to need a plug. And then she's like, you can probably hear me. She's like, you're going to have to run a cord from right there to right there to get this plugged in. And I'm just like, you got to stop. This is now like hurting me. And I can't talk to you about my apartment ever again. I have like a – like you've seen my – I've like FaceTimed you while I was in it. It's a beautiful apartment.
It's a beautiful, beautiful apartment. And – but the thing is mom doesn't understand that you don't have $10,000 a month to spend on rent. So you're not going to be able to get something with outlets, you know, every 2 feet. You right. know,
literally.
With like 10-inch crown molding that she'd prefer and crystal chandeliers.
I know. It's just – you got jet outs. Oh, you got jet outs. You won't be able to put your bed in that corner. It's just like so funny. Anyways, yeah, so this is called living at home at 26. I am hearing things like, I don't really like frozen ahi. That's what mom said to dad a couple nights ago when he brought home like some frozen ahi. He was like, look, Deb, I got frozen ahi. We can make it. And she goes, I don't really like frozen ahi.
And the way mom has like no, like, I feel like mom has this weird thing where like she doesn't care about hurting dad's feelings.
No.
In certain ways.
Yes.
Whereas like I would understand that dad had like paid money for that, or Kane had paid money for that. And I'd want to like kind of be sensitive to that. Just like the way that you had paid money for your apartment and you're really excited to live there. And maybe don't emphasize the negative. Mom's just like, no, I don't like it. It has jet outs. Can't fit a mattress there. Like,
you know, you got jet outs. And so, yeah. So she says things like that. And I'm like, Dad, I'm like, I love ahi, Dad. I would love for you to show me how to make it.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm really I'm picking up the emotional slack here.
Truly.
Okay. She also said to me yesterday, let's go to Disneyland on Saturday. And I'm like, Mom, I'm like, I've been working from 8 to 6. I got up to record this podcast at 6:15 so I could like prepare and like have coffee and, you know, be ready by 6:30 or 6:45 when we were going to record. Like, I'm like, I cannot go to Disneyland on the weekend. Like, I need to relax. Also, I need to pack all my stuff. But it's just actually like
shocking to me that she wants to go to Disneyland, given that she prefers to not ever leave like the 20 square feet of her
bedroom. I know. Well, I literally think that's because her entire week is like, you know, R&R. So it doesn't matter.
That's true. Mom with like no job and nothing and like no responsibilities, but three assistants. She's fully rested and ready to go to Disneyland on Saturday.
So ready. Dad also said to me, I can't believe your lack of diligence. You said you were going to go to Orange Theory with me every morning.
Wow. Oh my gosh. You're really going to put through the ringer.
And I'm like, mom's like, John, she works so hard. And I really have been working a lot. I actually have a meeting in, you know, at 8 a.m. today. And so anyways, that's what I've been dealing with. That's what I've been going through. But truly, I will say that it has been really nice to be home because I feel like I'm kind of like taking a breath, getting my bearings. I also have just been, you know, I've been doing white strips. I got an LED mask. Every night, you know, I watch a show with mom and just like do some sort of like beauty treatment. So I'm going to be ready for the harshness of New York winter and I'm going to look plump and dewy, when I head back in about 2.5 weeks.
There's just nothing more luxurious, honestly, than being like at mom and dad's house when like either like a very nice, like takeout is brought home or you go out to eat every night. And then
every night.
Otherwise, it's like watching shows and like doing skincare treatments at night.
It's so funny. Last night, I'm like, mom, last night I like finished work at like 6:30 and I like want to work out. And she's like, come to the movies with us. We're going to go see Free Guy. And I'm like, oh, I don't really want to see that. She's like, come on. She's like, you work too much. You can get a nice salad at the movies. They've got great food. And actually, all I want to do is, like, you know, make ground turkey at home and, like, you know, pack a box and just get through some of my other tasks. But it is really nice how the treat yourself mentality that exists in this house.
Yeah. Oh, so fabulous. All right. Well, speaking of luxurious parents, sorry to tell you, Chandler, our family life is not the most luxurious. This became abundantly clear to me when I watched Kylie Jenner's pregnancy video. Can we discuss?
I know.
Like, my friend told me that the Kardashians essentially live like kings and queens of yesteryear, and this cannot have been more abundantly clear.
Yeah, it's like, so true.
Like, were you not just like completely aghast at just the level of like luxury in every like millimeter of that frame?
They exist in such beautiful spaces all the time. Like, they're never under like fluorescent, you know, like can lighting or like, you know, like it's just they never have to experience anything but opulence.
Exactly. Like Kylie Jenner against like the architectural beauty of her home and like pregnant. Honestly, it was in like the string lights at that like dinner or whatever they were having. Like, it just made me realize that she truly has a better life than me, which I guess I always knew, but I really discovered while watching video.
It's amazing. That video was nice. I did not think it was quite as emotive as Stormy's was. I'm going to be totally honest, give some notes to the editor that, you know, drive the emotion in the next one for baby number three. I loved, though, the part when Kris Jenner found out. I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that Kris Jenner is a wonderful mother. Say what you're going to say. But in that moment, you cannot deny that she is just a mother who loves her children and is so happy for their joy. And, like, I love her with all my heart, and I would die for Kris Jenner.
Okay, Kris Jenner, honestly, is, like, a mother that God gave to the world to show other mothers what you can aspire to. I mean, yeah, there might have been like a quick sex tape selling or whatever, allegedly.
Whatever.
But look where the kids are now. Pure opulence constantly.
I mean, she sends them scripture verses, I'm pretty sure, every morning.
That would be annoying to me. That's actually a demerit.
So, you know, the woman's not morally bankrupt. Okay. Do we want to talk about unrelated but related to the Jenner and Kardashian family, Scott and Amelia?
Yes. Okay. So Scott sent a DM allegedly to Eunice, Courtney's ex-boyfriend, basically ridiculing Courtney for being very PDA-y.
Okay, this chick? Yeah.
I mean, so what did the DM read? Do you have it up by any chance?
Okay, it says, yo, is this chick okay? Bro, like, what is this? In the middle of Italy?
I'm sorry. What else are you supposed to be doing? She's at sea in Italy. Of course you're going to be all over your partner if there's any flame left in your relationship. It's not like they're in the middle of the Trevi Fountain in Rome. You know what I mean? Like, all over each other. Like, they're on a private boat at sea.
Although, who cares? Like, my thought with this is, like, do you think this makes Courtney, like, Scott's whatever. Scott is, like, honestly, like, kind of pathetic. And I, like, wish him love and light, wish him well. But he's pathetic. And I wonder how this makes Courtney feel. I wonder if this makes her, like, secretly, like, happy because she knows that he's still hung up. Or if it makes her sad. Like, I can't tell whether she's moved so far, far past him it would make her sad.
No, I mean, I think that I don't know that there's anyone who has risen above the feeling of satisfaction knowing that your ex still cares. Right. Like, I think that that's basically a universal, like, human feeling. And so I'm sure Courtney was totally delighted to see this because it just betrayed the fact that Scott is still a little caught up on her or majorly caught up on her. Also, I want to say, very rich of him to condemn her being PDAE when he literally was posting photos of his 19-year-old girlfriend in lingerie on Instagram. Remember that? Remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't believe how long him and Amelia were together for. Also,
how long were they together?
Like 11 months or something.
I mean, it was a good move on her part. She's basically a household name, or her star has risen a lot, especially compared to her sisters. I mean,
yeah.
Anyway, so I think that is interesting.
But I'm glad that I'm glad that they are broken up, to be quite honest with you.
Well, we all knew it was coming. We knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. It's time. I hope he dates someone age appropriate somewhat next time around.
I mean,
I do want to talk about one thing related to Kravis.
Okay.
So you know how Travis will literally always, like, comment something super romantic back on her posts about him and vice versa?
Yes.
Like, for example, she'll post a picture with him and he'll say, you know, forever isn't enough with you, my love. She'll post another picture with him and he'll say, like, my everything. How do you feel about this type of, like, public-facing, goo-goo gaga romance? Like, do you wish Kagan would do this for you?
No, because I'm so torn. Embarrassing to me.
I'm torn. Sometimes I wish. But I do think it is kind of embarrassing. Like, I feel like at least at this point, it's like, really? Like, haven't you already said this all in person? You know?
Honestly, the hottest Instagram to me for a guy is no Instagram. And the second, and then second hottest to that is
Brad Falchuk.
Is Brad Falchuk's. Basically, unless it's, like, very self-aware and kind of jokey and fun and cute, I really do not like an overly emotive Instagram post about your partner.
Yes.
Especially when it's written in a voice. Like, it's like
– it's like Fabio voice.
Steven, from the moment, you know, we met at Applebee's.
Right.
On that fateful Thursday evening after our shifts at Wells Fargo. Like, I knew you were the one.
It's just, like, a lot. It's a lot. And I also wonder, like, why do you have this public declaration to the world? Like, I really like a somewhat more, like, toned down, you know. I mean, I will say that Ben has posted some very, very kind things about me on his Instagram. But it's not – it's always, like, you know, with restraint.
There has to be, like, a restraint and self-awareness.
Yeah. I think that also if you are going to post a love letter caption, the only way to do it is, like, Brad Falchuk. Where it's, like, little tongue-in-cheek, fun and playful. Like, the minute you go super serious, it's, like, I tune out.
Exactly. Very well written too. That's the thing. Like, the key to good writing is just saying things that are very specific. So instead of saying, like, you mean everything to me, you're the one love of my life, all these trite phrases we've heard over and over and over again, you say something like Brad does that's very specific. Like, oh, this photo of Gwyneth, could it have been from 10 years ago? Could it be from today? Right. Who knows? Because she's timeless. Like, it's cute. It's specific. It's interesting writing.
Right. It's interesting. Okay. I now must go, but I'm glad we've returned to Brad Falchuk. Like all episodes, found its way back to Brad Falchuk, which I think, you know, proves to be a pretty successful episode, I would say.
Yes. All right. Well, Chandler, enjoy your day at work. And
thank you.
I will talk to you tomorrow morning when we record the Patreon episode. Yes,
cannot wait. Okay.
Bye.
That's all for now, folks. Don't forget, give us a 5-star review, hit us up on Instagram at PopApologists, and we will see you next week, live every Wednesday.